Well, I'm sure he could sing good, right, Missy? Okay. Well, I'm going to sit in front of him next week and see how he sounds. Oh, okay, well, Sunday after. All right, for those listening and over the Internet, World Wide Web, we're just cutting up. But take your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to visit this text again. We've been in it before, but I didn't elaborate on verse 6. And I want to do that, okay, tonight. Dogs, pearls, and pigs. How does that fit in with verses 1 through 5? Does it stand alone by itself? There are some commentators that say 1 through 5, you preach on that. 6, you preach on that one verse. And 7, where it talks about asking in prayer, you preach on that. But does it stand alone, or is it connected to verses 1 through 5? And we're going to look at that tonight. Let's take our Bibles and go to chapter 7. Stand in honor of God's word. Judge not, that you be not judged. Well, if it stopped there, we might listen to the admonition by people who says, don't judge me. But it doesn't stop there, does it? For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? And the key is in verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Father, I pray you teach us from your word tonight. And Lord, we're going to be able to hit two things tonight, verses 1 through 5 and verse 6. Something we've never tied together here in this pulpit. And so, Father, you teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Judge not that you be not judged. Boy, that's the favorite verse of the world, doesn't it? Every non-Christian knows that verse, but they're not able to put it in its context as well. And every believer that's sinning knows that verse as well. And they don't interpret their Bible correctly. We often hear things like this, well, you're not to be judged. God's the only judge. Or, well, we're just supposed to think about the best of other people, and we're not to be negative. We're to be positive. But what does this text here in verses 1 through 5 really teach about judging? Well, let's set the context. Y'all, by now, you ought to know, 15 years, that I'm big on context, because that determines the interpretation. Now, let's look at the context. What is the context of chapter 7? Well, it is the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus contrasts the true inner righteousness of his kingdom citizens with that of the outward false righteousness as exemplified by the Pharisees. And then we're going to narrow the context even down even more. And we find that in chapter 7, 1 through 12, he's dealing with the walk of the Christians in relation to other people. Okay? Now let's take it down a little further. Let's get it closer here. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus is condemning critical judging, harsh judging, judging when you don't know the facts. And one Bible teacher said he is talking about mote hunters who look for flaws and use despiteful criticism. God desires that we use discriminating, righteous judgment. You run across mote hunters in your life, and maybe in this church, people just go around looking for the mote in the other brother's eye, right? And they can't see clearly because of the plank or the beam that is in their own eye. So tonight I want to look at two questions, or three questions really. What is this passage not teaching? That's one way to try to find out what the Bible says. But first look at what it is not saying, and based upon what you do know. And then we're going to look at what is this passage teaching, and then we're going to fit in verse 6 into this context. So first of all, what is this passage not teaching? Well, let me share six things with you that this passage is not teaching. Number one, he is not saying we can't judge. Okay? The word judge in verse 1 means to determine, to distinguish, to evaluate, to make a decision. God's people always are to be a discerning people, discriminate between true and false, and error, false teachers and true teachers. And the word judgment in verse 2 is a different kind of word there. If you notice in verse 2, it means be a critical, be a judge by your own standards and not the standards of God's word, you know. Don't you run across people like that all the time, judging us by their own standards, their own man-made legalism and things like that. And so he's not telling us we can't judge. Because you notice in verse 2 and verse 5, three important words. Look what he said in verse 2. For with what judgment you shall judge you. But he's talking about if you're going to be hypocritical, criticize and judge with the wrong motives and things like that, you're going to be judged the same way. He's talking about the believer's attitude in judging, okay? And then also notice verse 5. That word first and that word then. He says first, cast out, right? First, cast out the beam in thine own eye, and what? Then. See, he's not talking about not judging. He's talking about you got to do something first, and then you can make the right discernment. Okay? It's amazing what the Bible can teach us if we read the words clearly. And then he said, thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So it's not teaching that, you know, that we can't judge. That's what not this passage is teaching. Secondly, it's not saying to Kurt, church can't settle disputes among believers. That's the way it was supposed to be in the early church. 1 Corinthians 6, they were suing one another before the courts of the world. Some worldly judge was making discernments on issues in the body of Christ. Now, it's not a prohibition against suing. We're not to sue other believers in the body of Christ. It is up for the church to make that call, right? And it says nothing about a believer and an unbeliever. It's talking about two believers and not to sue each other in the body of Christ. And then number three, he is not saying the church can't exercise discipline. A lot of people take this and say, well, look, you can't do church discipline because we can't judge. Well, you know the passages, Matthew 18, Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. The church is to exercise discipline to an erring believer or a brother or sister in the body of Christ, with the right attitude, with the purpose of restoration, with the purpose of an orderly walk with the Lord and not punishment. But when there is not repentance, then we have no discourse but to cast them out of the church. What else is this passage not teaching? He's not saying that the church can't judge the doctrine of teachers and preachers. You know, this is what you hear from the charismatic movement all the time, Brother John. If we were to say anything against them, they'd say that we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. No, we are to determine what's true teaching and what's false teaching based upon the correct interpretation of God's word, right? Very clearly. We see that in Matthew 7. We see it in 1 Corinthians 14. We see it in 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits to see if they're of God. And then fifthly, he's not saying we can't judge men for the qualifications of the office of pastor or deacon or teacher. We find that in 1 Timothy 3. We find it in 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Not everybody can qualify to be a pastor. Not everybody can qualify to be a deacon. Not everybody can qualify to be a teacher. That's why James says, let not many of you become teachers because you're going to be held in stricter judgment. And then number six, what else is this passage not teaching? He's not saying we can't judge, or he's not saying we should not de-emphasize doctrine or not have any convictions, right? Convictions come from doctrine. Convictions don't come from some legalistic attitude. They come from the Word of God. And we're in a world today, folks, in a church today that has downgraded doctrine. Doctrine is no longer important. It divides. But I want to tell you one thing that I believe, and I believe this till I'm taken out of here by death or by rapture. We are to stand and contend for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. Doctrine is important. If you do away with doctrine, you don't have any unity. If you do away, well, we're not going to emphasize that doctrine because it's going to run them off. Well, We have many churches today that have false unity because it's based on feelings with each other, touchy little feeling churches. It's got to be based on the scripture, right? We have no unity. I like what Adrian Rogers used to say, I'd rather be divided in the truth than united in a lie. And I like that. So this is not what this passage is teaching. Now, number two, we're going to look at what is this passage teaching then? If that's not what it's teaching, then what is it teaching? Well, we should not use harsh judgment and criticism of other believers' motive. He says this in this text here. We also see it in 1 Corinthians 4. We can't judge each other's motives because we don't know their heart, but we can see their fruit, right? But we don't know their heart. Well, he's not here today because, you know, we don't know their motives, right? I don't know the motives why you serve, and you don't know my motives why I serve. So we're on dangerous ground here. And when we begin to judge other people's motives, but we are fruit inspectors. We have a right to test fruits, but not their motives. He's talking about pharisaical judging, hypocritical, self-righteous, unfair judgment based on our own standards. And then number two, what is this passage teaching? Well, he's condemning critical judgment because it will come back on you. Verse 2, how we judge, if we don't do it correctly, it's going to come back on us. Okay? And then number three, we should not judge by appearance. Well, I've been wrong there a lot of times, right? We should not judge by appearance. Somebody comes into our church, they don't look like us. We don't know their heart, right? That will be revealed in time. But we don't judge by appearance. John 7:24 and James 2:1-4. And then number four, what else is this passage teaching? We should not judge in matters of conscience or questionable things. Romans 14 and Romans 15. Things that are not basically clear in the Bible, but they're you may think they're sins. Another believer may think they're not sins. And he's talking about the strong and the weak believer in the body of Christ. We can't judge the conscience or of other believers on questionable things. We can't make them offend their conscience. You know, if we have somebody come over to our house, and if we're going to invite a Seventh-day Adventist or a Jew, as much as I hate it, we're not going to serve them any pork. Because that might be good because they wouldn't eat it, and I'd have more, you know. But we don't want to offend their conscience. So you see what I'm saying? Somebody, I know of a case just a few years back where this guy, he thought it was a sin to go to movies, you know. I think it's a sin to go to certain kind of movies, but he thought it was a sin to go into what we all old-timers used to call a movie house, right? But people kept talking to him and talking to him and convincing him to go, but it caused him to violate his conscience, you know. And you do that, you're sinning, right? So on matters of questionable things, you know, if the Bible's not clear on it, then we can't be clear on it either. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't look down on your brother or sister that does it, or they to look down on you because you do a certain thing. They're weak in their faith and they don't understand it. And then number five, we should not judge by speaking evil of another believer. James 4:11-12. There's a difference in having a prayer concern and a concern and asking for prayer. And you know, but man, it is a sin before God to speak evil of another believer. Amen? That's what it says in James 4:11-12. We must be able somehow or another, and I don't know, I'm still studying this statement out that I often make, is we must separate the sin from the sinner. And our problem is we can't separate. We get into personalities. We don't argue scripture. We get into personalities rather than principles. And so we begin to attack the other person, you know. That's what politicians do. When they have nothing to bring to their defense, they just attack the opposition. And so we don't get into that's also true in marriage. We don't get into your in-laws and my in-laws. We don't get into those kind of things. We've got to be able to separate the principle from the personalities. And we need to love the sinner, right? But we don't love the sin. But we're not to judge and speak evil of another believer. Number six, what is this teaching? You will become blind to your own condition and need help yourself. In verses 3 through 5, if you judge harshly and you're looking for the mote in your brother's eye and you got a plank in your eye, and you're going to be blind to your own condition. You know, a lot of people are mote hunters. They just look for the other people's sins, right? Man, we got enough sins to go around, don't we? And, so this is what that passage is teaching. Now, verse 6, what about dogs and pearls and pigs? Look at it in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they be trampled them under their feet and turn again and rend you. How many of you got a Bible that lets you know when there's a break and a unit of thought, like verses 1 through 5, and then you might have a Bible that's got a little symbol beside 6 to let you know there's another unit of thought, or maybe 6 is bold letters and let you know this is another unit of thought? How many of you got a Bible like that? Okay. You do know those were placed there by editors, and they're not inspired, okay? Because I and many others believe that verse 6 goes with verses 1 through 5. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus is speaking of wrong kind of judgment. In verse 6, he's speaking very clearly about a command about a certain kind of judgment. Do not cast your pearls before dogs and pigs or swine. Now, to understand this, we need to determine who the dogs and the swine are. We must make a judgment and look at the Jewish culture of that day. Do you understand the very fact of verse 1 through 5 and 6 is proving what I'm telling you tonight? 1 through 5, right? You're not critical judgment, but we are to judge. And then in verse 6, the Bible is telling us to make a certain kind of judgment, right? Don't cast your pearls before swine and pigs, dogs, okay? So the Bible itself here in verses, moving from verse 1 through 5 to 6, is making a judgment, okay? Now, who are the dogs? Well, we go back, if you got a good commentary, you got a good historical background commentary that gives you the culture and the customs of that day, you'll find out that dogs in Jesus' day were not treated like pets are today. They didn't spend thousands of dollars on a pet. In fact, they were not pets in the New Testament. If they got sick, that was it, Jack. I mean, they're going to wherever cats and dogs go to, right? And I'll go ahead and tell you, they go to the ground, amen? But anyway, they didn't keep them as domesticated pets. And they didn't spend $1,000 on an operation, right? If I got $1,000 to spend on an operation, I'm the one that's going to have the operation, right? And not the dog or the cat. Now, I mean, if you're, okay, I hope I don't offend you, but that's true. So they were not domesticated animals. They were largely half-breed, half-wild mongrels that acted like scavengers. They were dangerous, and they were despised by the Jews. I mean, you get in between one of these and a piece of meat, I mean, you've had it. They'll trample you, and they'll rend you, is what verse 6 says, right? They're very dangerous, so it would be unthinkable. And that day, in the background, they would offer up the meat, the animal, to the sacrifice. That some of it would be burnt, some would be given to the priest to eat, what's left over, and some would be given to the family. Remember, in 1 Corinthians, and also in Romans, somebody offer you meat offered to idols, you know? And this is what he's talking about here. A part of the meat that was left over from the sacrifice, and they took home to eat. You wouldn't dare give that to one of these wild mongrel dogs. You'd eat it yourself, right? Now, who are the swine? Well, they were considered by Jews as the height of uncleanness, right? I made that mistake one time before. We took some people out to Longhorn, and I didn't think about it. I knew there were Seventh-day Adventists, but I didn't think about the swine bit and the pork bit, and I said, try the cowboy steaks. I mean, cowboy pork chops. They're real good. And she informed me quickly, I don't eat pork chops. And then it hit me in the head, you know. They're trying to keep the law to get saved, Christ plus, you know, and so that they don't eat pork. But What is this here? What is this talking about here? They were animals. Again, they were not pigs like we see on pig farms. They foraged in the outskirts of the city in the garbage dumps. They were greedy. They would fight over their food. They were very vicious. And if you've ever been hunting, wild hog hunting like my grandchildren have, believe it or not, they're very vicious animals. And you wouldn't dare get in the way of their food. You know, go up there and try to take a piece of meat away from a wild hog that's eating and see whose meat they eat, you know, when it comes to that. And what would they do? They would turn and rend you to pieces. You see that in verse 6? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, tear you apart. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, this is connected to verses 1 through 5. This is a judgment we are to make. Jesus is teaching that there are certain truths and blessings of our faith. We call them the pearls of our faith, if you will, the precious jewels of our faith. We're not to cast them and share them with other people who are hostile or vicious or antagonistic to the things of God. You know, there's a point we share the gospel with them, but there comes a point when they're absolutely hostile and vicious toward us and the things of God and antagonistic. Then he says, don't cast your pearls before the dogs and the swine. Okay? You see what Jesus is saying here? Because Jesus himself, he withheld judgment to certain kinds of people, or withheld the jewels, if you will, the pearls, to certain kinds of people. Go over to Matthew chapter 11 with me, if you will. We'll wind down here in a minute. Matthew chapter 11. Look in verse 25, if you will. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And we're going to talk about that next week, next Sunday night. Family secrets. What is the kingdom of God and why some people can't understand it? Now look at chapter 13, verse 11, if you will. Chapter 13, verse 11. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing not, they hear not, neither do they understand. And we talked about this when we preached through the parables. Jesus was showing the truths of the kingdom to his disciples, who had a willing spirit and who were seeking truth. But those who had hardened their hearts, Jesus spoke parables to hide these truths from their heart. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? But you got to believe that. And then look in chapter 13, verse 13. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing not and hearing not, they hear not, neither do they understand. I read that while ago. Look at verse 11 of chapter 13. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Wow. What do you do with that, right? To them it is not given, right? So, this is what this passage is teaching. So verse 6 goes with verses 1 through 5 because he is talking about a kind of judgment. Now you just go to somebody's door or something, you speak to somebody, you know, the gospel, and they say, no, not today, you know, I don't go for that thing. It doesn't mean they're a pearl or a dog or a swine, you know. I mean, it don't mean they're a dog or a swine and they're hostile and antagonistic. We're talking about people that over a period of time have become antagonistic to the gospel. And hostile, and God will give you discernment to know that's when it is. So we are not to judge wrongly, but we are to judge, especially being careful with the dogs and the pigs, right? I was at a 50th wedding anniversary for a couple that I knew at the church across the street from where I live, and one thing got going, and y'all know me, I'm not going to sit there. If something's, you know, hey, not kosher with Scripture, I'm going to speak up. And I said something about the sin of homosexuality, because they were talking about eating at a certain restaurant that was owned by homosexuals, you know, in Quitman. And I already knew who owned that restaurant. And so I made the statement, you know, I'm not going to eat anywhere where a homosexual owns the restaurant. Now, you say, well, I know what you mean. You begin to reason and say, well, you don't know who the cook is. You know what's going on back there and all that kind of stuff. And that person said, judge not, lest ye be judged. You're not the judge. And I said, well, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say, right? It's the scriptures that judge. I made more enemies like that, and Carter got liver pills, you know? But if it, you know, let him be ignorant, let him who is ignorant be ignorant still, you know? And once you share with them the word of God and they don't see it, there's nothing else I can do, right? So everybody see that text clearly now. You'll be able to put that in its context for somebody that asks you what that means, right? You'll see it clearly now. And again, always remember the editor's notes and the chapter breaks are not inspired. They're put there by men like us, you know? And so that's how we come up with it. No invitation tonight. Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, that we can rightly divide your word and how great it is when we're able to see the light, see the truth, and make the right call and the right interpretation. Of course, Lord, if verse 6 don't go with verse 5, someone could possibly come up with this idea that we're not to determine and discriminate who we share the gospel with, or you know, what's going on. I mean, Paul shared the gospel with unbelievers. How did he know unbelievers? How did he know a believer from an unbeliever? There's got to be some kind of discernment. And so, Father, teach us from your word. Continually do that. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.